Hello and welcome to The Big Fight, a show that is young at 22, the oldest running debate show on Indian news television. I'm Sanket Upadhyay. The World Health Organization this week estimated that the deaths related to COVID in India were around 47 lakhs, the highest revision across the world. 85% of the deaths that have been revised in these projections were from the Southeast Asian region. Now, this is, in the Indian context, 10 times more than what the government has claimed. First things first, what the WHO is saying is not an absolute or actual number, but a projection on the basis of statistical modeling. The WHO's projections, extrapolated on the basis of data study in 17 states in India, matches the projections of India by agencies like The Lancet, magazines like The Economist, and many other organizations. You can see that comparison. In every such assessment, the increase of the COVID deaths is around 10x, 9.8x, 8.5x. X means that many times, 10.9 and 10.2. Now, the government is naturally not happy about this, immediately rubbishing this report, calling it preposterous or ridiculous. They say this modeling is inaccurate. They're talking about the WHO. Some sections in the government, not officially, also highlight what they call a deep-seated bias of the World Health Organization against India, that the WHO found the cryptic data collection and reporting of COVID from China extremely satisfactory. But their modeling found a 10x discrepancy in COVID death reports here in India. So then obviously the natural question is, who is right? The Indian government data or the WHO's projection? Or is the truth somewhere in the middle? Because as concerned individuals, we seem to be staring at two extremes, wondering which one to believe. 4.7 lakh deaths or 47 lakh deaths? What do we believe? And what is not right? India's COVID death toll or WHO's methodology? That is going to be the big fight. So let us begin. Let me quickly introduce a panel of experts who will be able to throw more light on how this has been done and whether this modeling is accurate or not. Dr. Amit Gupta is a pediatrician at the John Ratcliffe Hospital in Oxford. We also have Dr. Priya Sampatkumar, chair of the Infection Prevention and Control, Mayo Clinic. We also have Dr. Sunila Garg, professor of the of Excellence Community Medicine, member of the Lancet Commission COVID India Task Force, Professor Gautam Menon, professor of physics and biology at the Ashoka University, and Dr. Rajesh Parikh, Director of Medical Research at Jaslok Hospital in Mumbai. Thank you very much. Expert panels right here who perhaps will be able to help us understand what do we believe in. Dr. Sunila Garg, I want to begin with you first. You see, on one hand, you've got around 4.5 lakh deaths. And on the other, you have 47 lakh deaths. Now, I want to ask you, given these two extremes, what does one believe?
See, Sanket, this is a very, very important question. And first of all, thank you for having me on the show. What I will like to say is that the immediate reaction of mine as a public health expert is that WHO has put its own credibility at stake by hounding on India with 50% global excess in deaths. We have to see that the world had reported 516 million deaths, and out of it, COVID-related deaths were 6.27 million, and we put an average this thing of 1.2% as case fatality rate, according to which the excess deaths attributed are 14.9 million for the globe. That means 140%. Whereas, you know, US had got 83.5 million cases, and reported COVID deaths have been 1 million. Whereas, you know, as per case fatality rate of 1.2%, we have got 0.93 million. So that means minus 7%. The country has reported higher, that means. So another thing is, when we look at Indian context, 43 million cases, and we have got 5.25 lakhs, you know, basically deaths. Again, case fatality rate of 1.2%. So resulting in excess deaths of 47 lakhs. That means 800%. I will say that basically, you know, we have seen WHO erring at several points. Number one, first of all, you know, I will say that, you know, it's though its intention may be that it intends to strengthen the health systems of the country, but we know that right from the beginning of origin of SARS-CoV-2 virus to the declaring of pandemic 3 months later, where, you know, it took a toll of millions of people, you know, across the world, we and also giving approval to the vaccines like Sinovac and all, which had 51% efficacy as against the benchmark of 50%. So at this point of time, I will say that the report has to be really viewed. It cannot be based on just a mathematical model, which is there, which is looking at only 17 states. We need to look at the data very, very carefully. And our civil registration system is very strong. Let me tell you that. And it is all digitalized when we talk of from the 2015 onwards. Because, you know, between 2019 to 2020, we saw an excess of about 6.2%. That means which had got, you know, almost from 76 lakhs, we moved to 81 lakhs, right? So that included, you know, almost, you know, we can say 5 lakhs, out of which, you know, we attributed 1.89 lakhs to COVID and the rest due to other causes. So that is where, when our own civil registration system is quite very strong and we have the data of, you know, 2015, 62.5 lakhs, 2016, 63 lakhs, 2017, you know, 64.5 lakhs. So when we look at the whole trends, we also know that during 2022, we have got 3.32 lakh cases, you know, which are attributed to COVID. So, you know, the whole world, you know, we need to look at the deaths very, very carefully. But it is really kind of, you know, makes me suspicious of the report, basically, because we cannot compare apples and oranges. That is there. Okay. We cannot compare, you know, states of Assam or Arunachal Pradesh and all that. So we need to look at in a different states, and particularly when our worldometer data at that point of time, it's not only, you know, we are talking of India data.
At the same time, Dr. Sampath Kumar, while the modeling of the WHO is not above suspicion, I mean, if someone were to question it, they will be well within their right. At the same time, why should the data which is available with us as of this moment, about 5 lakh deaths, be taken at face value? I mean, the government, by its own admission, we have Dr. N.K. Arora, who's affiliated very closely with the way things work or happen in India. He says that there could be about a 20% deviation. He admits 20%.
So, I think that anyone who thinks that India only had 4.7 lakh deaths, excess mortality in 2020-2021, is fooling themselves. I don't know of any family in India who wasn't impacted by COVID.
Correct.
And like you said, the truth is probably somewhere in the middle or closer towards the WHO numbers. It's striking that the Lancet report, the WHO report, the Economist report, reports from journalists in India all are closer to the 4.7 million or 47 lakhs than the 4.5 lakhs. And I think that India should try to make sense of the data. I think deaths were definitely underreported. And, you know, it would behoove India to learn from this experience. If we don't acknowledge the tremendous impact of COVID on India, we're never going to be able to prepare for the next pandemic, the next health crisis that India faces. So I truly think that anyone who thinks that the number is closer to 4.7 lakhs is really fooling themselves.
I think that's a wise thing to say, because it's very clear. It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable that in a country this huge, and I'll come back to you, Dr. Garg, so that you can respond.
And I do want to add one more thing. Mm-hmm. The other thing that adds credence to these numbers is, you know, the U.S. also had a tremendous mortality from COVID. And when you look at the excess mortality by population, the U.S. was 120 per 100,000 population. With the 4.5 million or 47 lakhs, the number for India works out to be about 170 per 100,000 population, which is certainly believable.
Interesting. Okay. I want to come to you now, Dr. Gupta. What's your view?
I would agree with the speaker who just came on, Dr. Priya. I think with all due respect, reporting of death has been underestimated in India. We know that through news reports, through the three other papers that have been published that you've already shown, which shows that there is an excess mortality, and any the range can be between 7 and 10 times. Now, it's not that India has been picked and there is a bone to pick. There are other countries within the region, including Bangladesh and Pakistan, which have similar problems when it comes to reporting death. I'll give you one small example, is that if you just look at the number of deaths, say the 10 odd million that the BBC quotes are dying in India every year, about 7 million of them don't have the cause of death actually registered properly. Many of these deaths are happening in rural areas, and it is understandable that many of these deaths are not registered. Many of these deaths happen at home. So it's not, I mean, there is there are a lot of complexities on recording death. There is a lot of complexity around how do we record COVID. That aside, I think the attitude is what I would completely agree with what Dr. Priya said, is to not just reject a triangulation of data, not just from one source, but from several sources. And this methodology is not unique to India. It is applied to the US and to the UK as well. And, you know, it's quite robust. And also the WHO has a technically advisory group, a TAC group, which has got members from everywhere. And they come together. These are eminent epidemiologists who have, I think, mulled over and looked over how to best record the excess deaths and have come up with these models. So I wouldn't diss these models and say these are all hypothetical stuff. You know, people are just making these mathematical numbers.
I think the argument being made is actual recorded numbers of people who have died versus a projection, an extrapolation or a model which may or may not be right.
Yeah. So the projection is not just made out of thin air. That's what I'm trying to say. The projection is also based on certain data points. And I take the point of the speaker, there are 17 states involved. But it is based on bits of data that would that are in excess, that are in addition to what the government figures are. So these are not models as in we will just project it and multiply it by something. This is also triangulated. And also, I'll repeat the point that this data has been triangulated by other studies which have done the same. So who knows where the truth lies? But
and then this, you see, India has also, Dr. Parikh and Professor Menon, one by one, I want to come to you. Dr. Parikh first. India has also questioned, the Ministry of Health and Family Welfare has also questioned how there are different strokes for different folks as far as the WHO is concerned. That you have, the whole process of tier rating countries, and you place India in a particular tier which the government feels is unfortunate.
Oh, that's absolutely justifiable, Satya. That's a very legitimate and well-calibrated response, though it's a partial response to the data, because the WHO has consistently been inconsistent in the way it has looked, for example, at China. You already alluded to that in your opening remarks. I can think of two or three examples that come to my mind right away, which bring to question the credibility of the WHO in its fairness towards all countries, which is the question that the Indian government is raising. You know, at a time when the whole world was questioning what was going on in Wuhan, and there was a considerable ambiguity in what was happening, intentional, I might add, the WHO issued a reverse travel advisory saying that it was okay to travel to China. I mean, this was bizarre. So that was one instance of what had happened. Another recent instance For example, has been, you know, when they had to assign an alphabet to the coronavirus variant, the next logical alphabet would have been the Greek letter XI, which incidentally is pronounced as Chi, which happens to be the first name of the, you know, the Chinese leader. And the WHO deliberated for 2.5 hours trying to decide what the next letter should be. And at the end of it, they decided that they should just skip it and go to Omicron. So they skipped a whole alphabet because, you know, it was the first name of the Chinese president.
May offend the Chinese.
You know, they even blatantly stated that this might have political repercussions. So I don't want to get into that. But the WHO certainly has treated China with kid gloves. It's not surprising that China is a major funder of the WHO after Trump pulled out the funding. But broadly, Sanket, if we have time, yeah. There are two broad things. One is the numbers on which there can be debate. The spectrum can be wider. And the other is the implications of these numbers on which I don't imagine there can be too much controversy. Now, if we look at the numbers first, when you arrive at the numbers and when we either support or dispute those numbers, I see an intersection of three parts of a Venn diagram. One is the credibility of the WHO, which the WHO has time and again besmirched and tarnished through its own inconsistency and its own actions. Dr. Garg has already alluded to it, so I don't need to amplify that. You spoke about it, and I did too. So there's a credibility issue. But the other more pertinent issue is the methodology. You know what the WHO has used over here? Rather than going just by hardcore data, they have looked at websites. They have looked at the reports of journalists. Undoubtedly, these are important, but that's not the best way to look at it. The second thing, and I think that needs to be highlighted, they have factored in the indirect effects of COVID, not just the direct effects of COVID. So we say these are COVID deaths, but they're talking about COVID-related deaths. So they are, and to an extent, that's justifiable, but I think that distinction needs to be made.
Okay.
So they have factored in that because of COVID, because of hospitals being full of COVID patients, a hypothetical number of patients who had other medical illnesses, therefore did not get the treatment that
they would have. But will you not agree that, and I come back to the main point, Professor Menon, that we are, you know, I really wonder, we are looking at two extremes. 5 lakh versus 47 lakh. What do I believe in? Which data is correct? If I say, for instance, I doubt as Dr. Priya is saying, if I think that it is foolish to think that only 5 lakh people died in India, then will it be equally foolish to believe that 50 lakh died?
No, there is, as always, there is a range in these numbers. And the interesting thing is that there have been multiple estimates by different methods, all of which converge on a range of somewhere between 3 million, which is 30 lakhs, and about 6 million. And the WHO estimates it somewhere in the middle of that at a 4.8 million for India. Which number you trust, of course, these are models, they're approximate. And which number you trust depends upon what faith you have and how they did the modeling. Let me just make a couple of points here. First of all, the modeling is completely transparent. What they did, what the WHO did in its methodology, is completely stated on its web page. It's described in detail for anyone who wants to know. And the people who developed these models are trusted statisticians from all over the world. So I think I have read the description of the methodology. It's a credible description. And although my own personal tendency would be to assume a somewhat smaller number of about 3 million or to 3.5 million, I don't see that the 4.8 million is anywhere really outside any credible range, even though that points to an undercounting of about 9.8, a factor of 9.8 over the Indian number, the official Indian number. The other reason, I think an important reason to point to make here is that if you look at the number of infections in India across the period of January 2020 to December 2021, even if you have any sort of credible estimate for that comes from sero surveys, and you ask, given what we know about infection fatality ratios across the world, across low and middle income countries, you do wind up inevitably with a number that is at least 2 to 3 times larger than the Indian number, maybe not 9.8 times, but somewhere certainly between 1 to 3 times at a relative minimum. So there are many, many different lines of evidence that suggest that India has undercounted its cases. It's not just one WHO number. Mm. And we should treat these different ways of thinking about the problem. We should treat them seriously, and we should ourselves come up with credible ways of estimating this gap.
Do you think that the first thing that the Indian government should do is to carry out some sort of an investigation, reassessment, recalculation, to have some correction in these numbers, rather than an outright denial. You know, usage of words like preposterous, ridiculous, horrendous.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We do have the statistical capabilities in this country and the modeling ability to do better models. If we think that we can do a better job than the WHO, we should do that better job. We do need closure. People have died. Families have lost loved ones. We do need to understand what the larger implications of COVID-19 have been for India.
All right. Thank you very much. Really important points that have been made. We got a cross-section of opinion, which was very, very important to understand from the experts. On the other side of this break, which we are about to take, we'll get you the political argument. Remember, this has become a huge political issue in this country, the WHO's projection, like everything else. Lots of things become political in nature. But before we get you that debate and take a break, let's quickly take a look at some comments on the Ku app. Mohit writes, WHO has released the excess mortality estimates without adequately addressing India's concerns. Naveen writes, have COVID cases and case numbers also been manipulated? Is the government trying to safeguard itself by hiding the truth? Stopping for a short break at this moment, that political debate up next. India's COVID death toll or the WHO's methodology? What needs to be trusted and what is not right? That's the debating point that we are asking on The Big Fight. Let me introduce our guests one by one. Professor Gaurav Vallabh, National Spokesperson of the Congress Party, because this has become extremely political as well. Dr. Shantanu Sen, Rajya Sabha MP and the National Spokesperson of the All India Trinamool Congress. Govardhan Das, BJP leader and professor of JNU. Ghanshyam Tiwari, spokesperson of the Samajwadi Party. Geeta Bhatt, supports the BJP and is a political analyst. And we also have Dr. Naresh Terehan, chairman and managing director of Medanta, the Medicity. Dr. Terehan, I want to begin with you first. And I want to understand from you, what is your reading? Because the Indian government says that this methodology of the WHO is not right. And our data is actually absolute numbers. But then if you look at, WHO, they say that this is a methodology which has been followed across all countries. So if it is wrong, then it will be wrong globally.
So you know that in India, the platform on which we are registering the deaths and the COVID app is a very well-established app. You know, we have followed 190 crore vaccinations on that. And it is true that what was recorded is 4.5 lakhs. Okay, now WHO comes out with the fact there is probably 10 times that. Now that methodology that we used was the registration of deaths. And the fact is that it may be off by 10, 15, 20, 30% because there are some deaths in the periphery which may not have been reported, but it's nowhere near what WHO is talking about. The WHO says that they have used the modulation method. Yeah. Modulation method is not hard data. This is actually collecting pieces of information from different places and then coming up with a number. And that is very, very inaccurate most of the time from that point of view as far as the numbers are concerned. So I think that we should actually look at it that Indian data is quite robust. It may be off by X percentage, but that the what WHO has put out is out of is preposterous, I think. And that's why I think...
No, you know, cannot... Dr. Trehan, this is the exact same word that was used by Dr. N.K. Arora also in our program, preposterous. But the point is, why would you call it preposterous? Why would you come to that conclusion that you should call this form of modeling preposterous? Is it because it singles out India and perhaps does not question China, which is a very dubious assessment?
The point is
data.
The whole world is their own choice whether they have enough data of their own, which they think is robust, and that they are willing to share the data and discuss it. So you don't have to say, okay, it is actually this much without really validating the data India put out. Now, if that was the case, that they wanted to actually run by the exact data that there is available with India and then talk about how some of it must have been missed. Mm. We can talk, we can accept some of the facts. But the way to go about and come up with a number, which I don't think is correct. I mean, that's my opinion. And I don't think is absolutely anywhere near the truth. The truth is that one, we had a very good reporting system from the hospitals. Yes, like I said, some of the deaths may have taken place in the periphery where the registration was not as accurate. But I don't think that you should accept what WHO is doing.
Sure.
And if they have any doubts about it, they should come and discuss with the Indian data and look at it and tell us where it went wrong. It cannot be just put out
no,
like
do you
that.
Think, and I want to bring in Professor Gaurav Vallabh. Professor Vallabh, do you think that here is a case where both these things cannot be taken at face value? You cannot take the data provided by computed or calculated by the Indian authorities at face value, as there may be some change. Similarly, you cannot take this WHO modeling also at face value, because the Indian government's position is something which is, in a sense, also being spoken about by Dr. Trehan, was questioned by the Indian government on several occasions. We took this up with the WHO, that your process of extrapolating data is incorrect.
So, Sanket, WHO is incorrect. Lancet study is also giving nearby the same data. As per Lancet, during COVID-19 wave in India in the year 2020 and 2021, 40,70,000 people had lost their lives. WHO says 47 lakh. One very reputed Hindi newspaper had done one study for India, for one state, and they found in 1 month in Madhya Pradesh, more than 1 lakh people had died due to COVID-19. Although this is another story that after this report, the CBI and ED went to that newspaper offices. So there is a raid. So my question is very simple. Had we not seen the bodies floating in Ma Ganga during the COVID-2 wave? Had we not seen people dying on the streets of Delhi because there is no oxygen? Had we not seen many hospitals in Delhi, people had died like 30 people, 40 people because there is no oxygen in that particular hospital for 2 hours or 3 hours or sometimes 12 hours? Can we deny that fact also? See, primarily, what government is
no, sir, Professor Vallabh, you are saying, my question is very different. Do you think that us under-calculating the death figures and the WHO in its modeling perhaps over-calculating these death figures is the problem? That number one, have a correct estimate and the absolute numbers available with us cannot be relied upon.
Sanket, denying that Lancet is also wrong, WHO is also overestimating, it is something like closing the eyes when the problem is in front of us. Hmm. What is the reality, Sanket? I will give you one data. Amongst the nations with highest ratio of excess deaths in 2020 and 2021, as per WHO, we are ranked second. Our data, our government is on the second rank as far as the denial of the deaths are concerned during 2020 and 2021. So when you are saying, someone is saying that I don't accept this data, so give us a proper logic. You can't say that, no, I don't.
Okay,
I don't,
Professor Gobardhan Das, I want to come to you now.
So
Professor Das, you've heard what Professor Gaurav Vallabh is saying. Yeah. He's saying that if you say that this method of calculating and computation, if it is not correct, then what is the principal objection? See, and are we to assume that what is being computed by the Indian authority is absolutely correct? Because you look at, I mean, let's put that graphic once again on screen, where you see that it is not just the WHO, but the Lancet, The Economist, and various other agencies who carried out their modeling, WHO, Lancet, Economist, Center for Global Development, 9.8x, 8.5x, 10.9x, and 10.2x.
See, good evening. Actually, let me tell you a couple of things. So let me talk about first WHO data. What WHO data, I'm really surprised, shocked, and saddened by their irresponsible reporting. Firstly, they are data.
No, irresponsible reporting of the WHO. Okay.
WHO. Hmm. the WHO, they are collecting their methodology, they are collecting data from the unreliable sources, websites, and media reports, which is not really correct. And they could have gone to the hospitals, or they could have collected data from the CRS, but they did not do it. And they are taking the data. What they are saying is from the 17 states. If you look at the death rate in Maharashtra and death rate in Kerala is relatively higher. And of course, there is a variation from the first wave to second wave. So basically, these are the things to be considered. And therefore, probably the data, what the WHO is saying is not correct. Second thing I would like to mention here, the previous years, like 2018 to 2019, the excess death is 7 lakh. And next year, the excess death is the 19 to 20 is 5 lakhs, which is the, probably because of median age of Indians are slowly getting higher, number one, or also because of increased populations. They are not considering that as well. So there are two things. These two things, of course, the number of the deaths, the WHO is absolutely incorrect, and they should have relied on the CRS data. We have the robust reporting data.
No, but then, Professor Das, you see, are you disputing the whole concept of modeling and projection and extrapolating?
Yes, one moment.
Even many Indian agencies use modeling as a process by which they formulate government policies. So are you ridiculing and rubbishing the whole concept of modeling?
See, this is the modeling which it doesn't go to near to your reality. This, of course, this is some kind of dubious data they are using. They are not using the correct data. So that is absolutely wrong.
No, then what is the correct data? See, according to you, the correct data will be the data that you will provide.
They could have gone. The data is available with every state. They could have
exactly,
collected from
exactly.
Every state.
And you know, I'll give you an example. For instance, let me go to Dr. Shantanu Sen. Dr. Sen, right here on NDTV, during the second wave, I remember two reports very, very clearly. One filed by Saurabh Shukla in Noida, and the other filed by Anurag Dwari from Bhopal. The official death toll of the state equaled the reading in the register of one crematorium. Now, this was a report of one day. Imagine what must have been happening. So then for the government to turn around and say that you rely on the data that we are providing so as to be accurate, do you think that will be a correct reading or an assessment?
One day reporting cannot be the presumption, no?
Dr. Sen. Reality.
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
This WHO reporting has categorically unveiled the reality, that is, the government of India was busy blaming other states regarding suppression of fact. Mm. But now it has been crystal clear, it has become loud and clear to everybody that in reality, government of India itself, they have suppressed the fact.
It but you know, Dr. Sen, this is data provided by state governments, the various states, and then collected by the center.
Yeah, let me tell you. It was a statistics for the period of 1st January 2020 to 31st December 2021. Mm. And it's just absolutely unimaginable that the actual figure is 10 times than that of what was given by government of India. They have said there was a death of 4 lakhs and the real death is 47 lakhs. Can you even believe it? It once again endorses the data given by Lancet.
No, here is my question.
Ghanshyam Tiwari. Given by Lancet that a vaccination policy was faulty.
Ghanshyam Tiwari, do you think that the truth somewhere lies in the middle? That we may have massively underreported, but the WHO and other agencies may be, by the help of modeling, massively exaggerating. Could this be the truth somewhere?
Good evening, Sanket, to you, my fellow co-panelists and the viewers. Two things. One is, there is no truth in the middle. This is absolutely cruel, atrocious propagandist government that decided that they will not tell the people what happened. throughout, they said every time the data was asked, look at the kind of stances this government has taken. No deaths due to lack of oxygen. This is the government of India's stand at various places.
Yeah, denial.
No data for 2 years on a variety of things, from migrants to COVID deaths to oxygen. There's not even an anecdotal sense. Not one of your viewer here or any other panelist can say that they don't know anybody who did not die due to COVID in the last 2 years. So every one of us know more than one people who died due to COVID. And when you ask, these people have not, many of these people have not been counted. Even a senior doctor like Trehan would know people who have not been counted in the Government of India calculation. Next, when in Uttar Pradesh, in the second wave, when teachers were dying because this government wanted elections, panchayat elections, and when the teachers protested, teachers association protested, the government said only 3 people died. The teacher association gave the phone number and list of more than 1,000 people who had died and then the family members. What is floating in Ganga, this government, so-called the government that aspires for Hindu Raj, says that this is ritualistic, that dead bodies are floating in Ganga in the face of this kind of tragedy. Health Minister of India has been fired by Prime Minister himself. Who is the health minister? He was not the health minister during COVID times.
Sure,
health minister,
sure. I get the point that you're trying to make, and thus let me ask you this question. What Mr. Ghanshyam Tiwari is trying to highlight, Professor Bhatt, I'll come to you, Professor Das. What Ghanshyam Tiwari is trying to highlight is that here is a tendency of the government to say either we have no data available or whatever data we have available, you believe that. You know, you look at the track record. Unemployment, the government will turn around and say faulty assessment by some agency. You ask any question. For instance, the Global Media Freedom Index, the government gave an identical reply that the modeling is wrong, the process is wrong, very bad modeling. In the Global Hunger Index, the government says the same thing, faulty modeling, bad process, ours is the best. We have calculated the best. And now for the announcement of the COVID deaths, the same identical argument. So whether it is hunger index, whether it is press index, whether it is COVID deaths, why is it that the government's argument is always identical, that someone else has done a bad job? We are the best.
No, Sanket ji, I don't think the government is saying that. But the fact is that it's unfortunate to see that a pandemic and a healthcare issue actually is being used as an instrument of politics. Now, I think there are very able people on this panel. Dr. Tehan was there and Professor Das is there, who himself is, biochemistry, who know the actual facts. But the point is that WHO, in terms of the whatever modeling, some simulation which they have done, based on some subsets of the states that they have taken, the fact remains that the positivity rate, COVID positivity rate, they have taken it uniformly for all the countries. Just like they have done it for the other countries, they have done it for India. But the fact remains that the positivity rate was different. When north it was peaking, in south it was very low, and then vice versa. In some states, in Kerala and Maharashtra, it was high, but not so in other states. So this same one size fits all, as Dr. N.K. Arora has also said, I heard in one of the interviews saying it. So this is this approach itself, I think WHO needs to be a little more sensitive by releasing such kind of a report, where they have not even talked about that, how have they been able to quantify the uncertainty of the estimate population? They have not done so. And in fact, this has also been...
What can be the motive in this case? If you're saying that their modeling is wrong...
Please hear me.
What is the WHO's motive in doing this?
I want to put forward just 2 small points. First point is that the Lancet was quoted over here. Let me tell you, Lancet is the same journal which criticized the Indian government on abrogation of Article 370. And by the way, it is a medical science journal. Okay, it is the same journal. So what kind of authenticity the reports that they are publishing is also something that we need to look at with a pinch of salt.
Okay.
Secondly, first point is this.
No, but then, by this logic, the Economist is not very kind to you. So that's why they've...
New York Times very strategically, just a couple of weeks before this report has come, has placed an article saying that the government of India
Professor Bhatt, my simple question is, my simple question over here is, one more. Professor Bhatt, I've heard you out. My simple question is, are we going to live in a situation where we are going to ridicule or call preposterous every international attempt at modeling and projecting? I know projections may not be the most accurate. They may not be accurate, but perhaps they will give you a sense, Professor Gaurav Vallabh, that ours may not have been the most accurate. I don't know. You can question the WHO for its double standards as they are questioned the world over in the case of China, for instance. You can question. Everyone is free to question. But are we going to live in denial and ridicule every international attempt at modeling and projecting, whether it is Press Freedom Index, Hunger Index, COVID death, and the list goes on?
Sanket, till 5th May, WHO was the best organization for Government of India. By the way, WHO Chief Dr. Tedros was there in April 2022 in India.
Yeah.
And Prime Minister was extremely friendly with him, gave him some names also. I don't know what name he gave. But I read somewhere in the newspaper that Prime Minister gave some name. In year 2020 and year 2021, the Executive Board Chief of WHO was Dr. Harshvardhan. And now WHO, when they gave that Indian government is a liar number two. We are not number one. Above us, there is one more country who had lied more than us. So Government of India is liar number two as far as the excessive deaths for COVID is concerned. Now WHO is anti-national. I am telling you, Sanket, had WHO headquarters were there in Delhi, CBI, ED, Income Tax, SFIO, DRI, or police. Now, last but not least,
political comment that you're making.
Govardhan
Das. Professor
Govardhan
Das.
I would like to come in. I have two comments to make. I would like to ask Dr. Shantanu Sen, in West Bengal, how many COVID deaths so far reported? Do you have the data? So if you have the data, you can do at least primary back calculation. You don't have any idea, only you know how to blame the government. Number two, the calculation is absolutely done incorrect. That has been reported. That has been, you know, been saying by various doctors throughout the country. And you are not really relying on our doctors. You are not relying on our systems, and you are blaming it.
Dr. Sen's reply.
What's ridiculous? It is first absolutely all, wrong, ridiculous.
Dr. Sen's
and
reply.
Second thing I would like to mention, WHO, today, whatever
let
the
global, global,
just wait.
First, man, to the anchor, just I must
he's,
be
wait.
To
you'll, get it, you'll get your turn. Don't.
You just ask him.
Decivilized, you'll get your turn. I did not interrupt you.
No, Mr. Biswanath, I'll come back to you. Okay. Dr. Sen, please. Running out of time. So
the second thing is WHO. Say WHO has a tendency. Today the global spread is because of WHO. If you look at early 2020, WHO is assuring and assuring.
No, I agree with you, Professor Das. The thing is,
and that is what the
WHO is not above question. You can question them. You can question their modeling also.
Like Shantanu Sen, without knowing the data,
Dr. Sen, which is exactly why I ask a very basic question. Do you think that
first
it is now
all,
time, rather than completely ridiculing and rubbishing whatever the modeling process has been followed by the WHO,
all,
to launch a sort of a rethink and a recalculation? Perhaps it's not 10x, but it may definitely not be 4.5 lakhs.
Am I allowed to answer now?
Yes, Dr. Sen, please, Dr. Sen.
First of all, whenever there is any statement which is against the will of this government of India, that statement or that statement maker is anti-national, number one. Number two, during this entire COVID, our government was busy organizing Namaste Trump. Our government was busy organizing election in Madhya Pradesh. And we have categorically seen there were several differences between the opinions, between the statements given by Health Ministry and ICMR Chief Balaram Bhargav.
Okay, this
come
is
to our state
the point
West
is
Bengal has taken
WHO data, Lancet data, Economist data is now politically being used questioned, the government is being questioned, the government is saying don't weaponize data. But the point is, this sentiment where any international attempt at projecting, extrapolating and modeling is ridiculed, put down and objected to each time, is that a correct way of going about? Or should we launch a sort of an investigation in figuring out that did we actually underreport COVID deaths? Because the truth may be pretty much that. Not perhaps to the extent of WHO, but somewhere there. Thank you very much for joining us. News continues on the other side. Stay with us.